Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gabaza, and for today we are talking about, you know, something that's a bit different from the financial markets chats that we tend to have here on the Business Day Spotlight. Today we are looking into the business of cannabis. It goes by, you know, a lot of different names, you know, marijuana, weed. Some people talk about, you know, hemp. And you know, some people talk about happy grass, the herb. There's so many things, you know, that are involved here. But over the last couple of years, there has been a move towards legalization in different parts of the world, and South Africa is on that journey. I wouldn't say we're quite there yet, but we are going to be talking to two entrepreneurs who are going to be helping us to understand what's actually going on the ground. Perhaps even, you know, dispelling some of the myths that people might have on the ground about it, because they're actually launching something called Adler Zero, which will be luxury filtered hemp smokes that will be the first legal hemp or CBD smoke products that will be available on South African shelves. So we're going to be talking about, you know, maybe a little bit about the company itself, but more importantly, the business model and where the hemp / CBD market is headed here in South Africa. So I'm joined by the two directors of Elon Naturals that will be launching this product. That is Theo Botha together with Alwyn Marais. I think I'm going to start with Theo on this one. Good morning to you, Theo. Maybe just a little bit about, you know, Elon Naturals, you know, just the company itself. Do you guys specialize in the hemp CBD, you know, sort of market, or have you sort of ventured into it over time?
Good morning, Madiwe. What happened was, it's around about 2.5 years ago, we found the niche of getting into the natural products in South Africa that is available not only in South Africa, but in Africa. And that the need is so much there to go over to, can I call it, the herbal effect of products. Like any business, you need to go and find what is your niche. And what we decided was is that we want to supply our clients with some products that is available on the market, but is to growth-wise is into the best way of giving it to them. So we got a team together, myself and Alwyn, and we sat and we said that we're going to start with Elon Naturals, and we started with products like Moringa that everybody knows. And we said, okay, if we do something like it, we need to do it to the best that there is. There is so many people that's doing it. And we decided if we grow and get our suppliers to give us products, we're going to go, for example, over to the greening process. That's very important to us as well. So everything started off with an idea to give the quality of a product that we do in our company to the client or the end user as a good product. And that was important for us. So we started off with Moringa and different Moringas, and we brought in Mbeshu, and not to say about Elon Naturals itself, but it started growing into a very good business, and collagen and things like it. And the South African people found that our quality of products is very good. And so that was right about 2.5 years ago, and we started growing into a huge company in the sense of that the people know whatever they purchase from us is good quality, and the supply and demand is there, and that our clients' excellent services entitles us to make sure that we have the necessary skills and expertise to make sure that we can give them information about not only products that they use, but make sure that they can be satisfied if they use something like it that has been tested and it's organic and everything like that.
Okay, cool. So, Owen, I'm going to bring you in here to maybe understand, because Theo has given us, you know, that journey. You guys decide that you're going to get into natural products. It's about 2 years you get into it. And then as you guys are releasing more and more products, starting with Moringa, you know, there's high demand. You guys are growing as a company. At what point do you decide that hemp or CBD is something that you guys, you know, want to get into as a product line?
Madiwa, it's always for us, you know, as entrepreneurs, you always look at opportunities. And being in the natural supplement area, you know, it's important to us to find products and to develop products that are unique, that service a specific niche in the market. If just to go back to what Theo said. Now, our Moringa, there's a lot of guys doing Moringa, but our Moringas are different in the sense that we combine it with other products to make them very unique and very specific, for example, on weight loss. So we've got a combination with other products. The same with the anti-aging. We've got a Moringa collagen mix that are very specifically anti-aging that almost, if I can put it that way, you know, not only highlights, but really emphasizes the anti-aging properties. Now, in that same almost sense of looking for niches, we looked at the CBD market as well, because you know at the moment there's internationally there's about a 500% growth in the CBD market. So obviously there's a growth in a specific sector that was very specific, and we had a look at it, and you know. Theo's got some experience in the past in medicinal cannabis for his daughter. So that is something that we then had a look at and said, but this is something that we can actually bring into South Africa as well, because it actually does not exist here. You know, you get guys that hand roll, the term that we would use, Azole, for example, they would hand roll their smokables, but it's very limited, and it's not for the mass market. You know, in South Africa alone, there's estimated to be about 3.5 million cannabis users. So, you know, to hand roll products for them wasn't practical. So we had a look international, and we came across this product that's already really established in the US. You know, it looks like a cigarette. It's in the same box, the same size. It's almost socially acceptable to smoke a cigarette in public, but not a hand rolled Zol. So it had a specific allure to us, and obviously all the benefits that goes along with the CBD product. So we looked at legislation, and it was very, very prohibitive. And through a long process of it took them almost a year to develop this product so that it is actually acceptable in our legislation this side, and that's why it became really a product that we had to have a look at, and we're really excited that we were able to develop this product for the South African market, which is going to be legal, and therefore we're looking forward to the launch actually.
I'm turning back to Theo now, just to get a sense, because I'm very curious now, because Alwyn has now described, you know, that process of getting into the market, the thinking, and I do agree that around the world the CBD market has really been on the rise. The United States, it's become quite a big thing. We're even seeing companies listing. Right now, you know, people are having IPOs, people are having, you know, franchises. I can think of the likes of people like you know, Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa in the music industry that have really, you know, made big brands, you know, selling smokables, you know, cigarette-like packs and all of that. So I can definitely see why that would be an interesting opportunity. But my curiosity then becomes, because I can imagine that someone else would be thinking, what makes the Adler Zero that you guys are producing, legal versus whatever else is being rolled in South Africa, because I'm pretty sure that there's so many people that would want to mass produce their products but are still getting arrested for it. So what makes yours legal or different from whatever else is going on in the South African market, whether above or below ground?
The idea came about that, from my point of view, and I think Owen's as well, that it needs to be a controlled substance that we can give to people. There's so many products in that you can grow the hemp and the flower and everything like that into different ways. And if you can control it, and in South Africa, CBD is already allowed. And if you control the amount of THC that's inside there and still find a way to make sure that it's a controlled product that is still giving you the opportunity to find various forms benefiting the health that cannabis can give through to you, then if we can succeed by that, so the idea was if we can succeed by that and we can give them a COA, a compliance of analysis and everything like that, and bring that in and make sure that every time that people is using it, they can find the benefits of the CBD in itself and the benefits of the natural product that is called cannabis, that is world-renowned, that people start believing it and start using it. And as you correctly said, there is people that is overseas is using it. And but what we try to do now is make sure that we have a controlled product with the correct amount of cannabis substance in between your THC and your CBD, and make sure that we can supply South Africa on a legal form, type of smokable that can help them and move away from your normal tobacco use. And if they can find the benefit of having a smokable, like in your CBD smokable cigarettes, and still have that and benefit them on a daily basis, that was our idea of introducing it into South Africa.
Before I move on to the actual business, I just wanted to check. I think sometimes when it comes to getting approvals for these things, you sort of have a rough idea of who's, who's doing what. With state-owned enterprises, you know that there's public enterprises that's doing things. In telecommunications and in media, we talk about ICASA, or the Independent Communications Authority, of South Africa, the same is seen and said in other industries. So for your particular industry, who in government is actually checking these regulations? Who's checking your levels and actually making sure that your product is, on par with whatever national regulations are there?
Madiba, it's the health department. It's CBD is actually regulated by the Medicines and the Related Substances Act. So it's under their view to regulate all CBD products. If I could just go back to you asked the question about regulation and how does our product differ from what is overseas, for example. If we look at THC, the standard THC level in cigarettes or smokables available mostly in the US is 0.2 to 0.3% of the product. And then the CBD level is anywhere between 35 milligrams and 50 milligrams per smokable. So that is quite high. Now, CBD products is regulated, as I said, by the Minister of Health on this side. And our regulations are really restrictive. Firstly, it's 20 milligrams and of CBD per smokable, and then also 0.001 THC, which is technically 0%. That's the problem why there hasn't really been a product like this in South Africa, because to extract that amount of THC and CBD from a product actually deteriorates the product itself. So it took the company of Solar Naturals just over a year to, through lab processes, to actually extract that amount of CBD and THC so that the product is legal in South Africa without compromising the flavor, the taste, the effect, and everything that goes along with it. So it was quite a process. That's why it took so long, and that's why there isn't currently a legal product in South Africa on this market, because it is such an extensive and complicated process to actually make the product legal. If that answers your question.
No, it certainly does. And I think it sort of helps us to maybe segue into the next bit, because the legalization and going and adhering to regulations really does seem like the big part. But from everything you're describing, it sounds like there's a big investment of time, and I can imagine financial resources to actually come up with a process where you can extract the right amounts of THC as well as the CBD. So from that point of view, then, the business model. Right, because now, how do you guys make your money? You guys have to make your money back and actually make the business sustainable. So, what's the business model that you guys have in place? From actually developing the product, but more importantly, on the consumer side for distribution.
From a sales point of view, we did our market research and see that there is so many people that is using cannabis at this moment in time in South Africa. And with the production of cannabis in South Africa, different levels of, because we don't know what the THC levels is and CBD levels are. And what we've done is if we can bring it in and still give them the various forms of the health benefits in it, within the legal parameters of whatever the government is stipulating to us at this moment in time by the Agricultural, Forestry and Fishery Department. We found that speaking to people that they're going to feel much more comfortable by buying it legally than at this moment in time from somebody that they don't know what the content is. If we can produce for them statistics, and not only statistics, but we can give them certification of what is in the product, we can assure them that it is there for their benefit and not only on something that's been grown in somebody else's backyard. And when we spoke to people, they were very open towards it. And the idea of accepting it and people understand what the need is for cannabis in South Africa and the benefits of cannabis in South Africa or the CBD, that helps a lot. And that was the idea where it came from. So from our point of view, it was if we can assist people to have it legal and get the benefits out of it, then you need to do an investment and go and see if we can control it, because it needs to be a controllable substance that we can give through to them.
Okay, cool. So, but when it comes to actually distributing the product, how are you guys going to do that?
We're looking at and negotiations at the moment and through distributors. So we will bring the product into the country. We've got distributors in the UK. So we also, at the same time, launching it in South Africa, we're also launching it in the UK because it's a novel product for them as well. So it'll be through distribution. It'll go through normal retail shops. It's not required to only be through pharmacies or smoke shops or that type of thing, but it'll go through the normal retail chains. So, and that's what we are negotiating with a couple of players at the moment to get the product out and to make sure that you know, as wide as population as can be, can have the benefits of CBD smokes.
Maybe you could give us an idea of how big the market in South Africa is, because I think from what Theo was saying, you guys did your research, there's a lot of people that are already consuming, you know, cannabis in one form or another. And I heard the 3.5 million cannabis users number earlier on. Are there any other metrics that you can maybe give us just so that we can contextualize how big the opportunity is?
Yeah, you know, in South Africa at the moment, they estimated about to be about 3.5 million cannabis users, and the market size, they're looking at about 27 billion for the South African market as far as cannabis is concerned. Obviously, a lot of that is currently still underground, but I think as legislation eases up and more players can get into the market, obviously the growth there will be quite substantial. You know, they're looking at internationally between 300% and 500% growth in this market over the next 3 to 4 years. So from a business perspective, there's obviously huge potential for companies to start looking at that sector of the market, and you know, make the right decisions and giving the people the benefit of the CBD.
Okay. Yeah, those sound like, you know, some really big numbers, especially that, you know, the 27 billion rand market. And I could see something like that happening in terms of the amount of, you know, the amount of use on the ground. And as you're saying, we will likely see that number grow, especially as, you know, some of these products become more mainstream. Theo, one of the things that you mentioned quite a bit throughout the discussion is this issue of, you know, the health benefits, you know, that come with CBD and with hemp. But I wanted to get a sense from you guys, because there is this opportunity, you are getting into this market. There's already a wide use of cannabis already in South Africa, the 3.5 million users that you said, except that the biggest challenge has always been this issue of legalization and, you know, where do people sit on the regulations, etc. So when you guys are approaching the market, do you sort of anticipate that it's going to be the casual users coming on and taking on your product, or is it likely going to be more the people that are looking for the health benefits, because you do have those different camps of people that are consuming cannabis?
You're correctly saying there is different markets into it, because when we did our research, you obviously go to pharmacies, you go to the youth, you go to people that's using it and things like that. But ultimately, when we looked at it, is at the benefits, what cannabis is doing towards or for people. And when you look at chronic pains, at improving lung capacity compared to what cigarettes is doing, you're looking at regulates and prevents diabetes. It fights cancer. It helps depression. You know, it's very difficult to go and say, I think people are still in their mind, if you start speaking about hemp, they're very negative towards it. But if you start going in the last couple of 4 or 5 years into your pharmacies, and you can see the amount of CBD products that's been brought in to the pharmaceutical companies, it was definitely more accepted that there is a need for people to start using it and to start speaking openly about it, that yes, they feel the need for them to start using the product. Within the youth, it goes both ways, that it helps with the depression, it stimulates control over ADHD and things like it, and all sorts of anxiety, and they start using it when they're having the exams and things like it. So for me, it was when we did our research, you go into the market that When you open these things, it's not only for the people wants to start understanding, yes, I can use the product more open and freely, because they start having an understanding what the CBD benefits for them is. And so the age gap is where it was only just kids and underground and people smoking it because it was not legal. Now with legalizing the CBD factor into it, your age that was always against it is now start feeling, yes, we can use it, and they get the benefits out of it, and they can feel it, and they can start speaking with each other and say, yes, I've tested it, I've dealt with it. It helped me with arthritis. It helped me with different symptoms that they've had. And that was for us a big move where people is accepting the fact of understanding that the health benefits in cannabis is there.
All right. Elwin, you have the last word, and we have just about a minute left. So I'll ask you to be quite brief in your response. There's a couple of terms that we've thrown around a lot in this conversation, and I feel like we might need just some clarity as we end off. THC, hemp, CBD, what are we talking about?
There's quite a number of products within cannabis. There's about 70 unique products, of which THC is tetrahydrocannabinol and CBD is cannabidiol. And they each have their respective applications. So THC is the product that makes you high, which is probably the most favorite product of cannabis itself and what most people want to experience. But it doesn't have any other effect but to make you high. So that's not going to be within our product because that's limited by legislation to be almost zero. The most important part is the CBD part, and that's where there's been great research as far as the benefits of CBD, and that's the part that we're focusing on, because through a smoke it actually absorbs a lot faster than any other method like vaping or so. We're really excited about the product and that we can see the benefits for the South African.
So that was us. We're talking to the team from Elon Naturals, that is Theo Botha, together with Elwin Murray, around the hemp market, CBD, the cannabis market, what's actually going on in and around that industry, and the type of opportunity that they're seeing, you know, for smokables, because they got into naturals, into natural products, and they decided that hemp and CBD was something that they were going to focus on. And I think one of the key things is them talking about the benefits versus the casual use of cannabis. And it will be interesting to see how much of the market that they're going to capture over time. They say that there are about 3.5 million cannabis users in South Africa, and that the market is estimated at a level of about 27 billion rand. So it will be interesting to see what happens there. Something else that they do highlight is the fact that getting to the point of developing such a product has been, you know, quite tedious, because there's a lot of regulation that actually goes into actually saying how much of the different components that Alwin actually explained towards the end. That's you know, your THC, what is CBD, you know, what are we talking about when we talk about those different levels. So that's been it. Thank you so much to the team.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
In economics, or in an economy, we say that if there's demand for a certain type of product, good or service, and that is not being serviced in a legal sense, then a black market or underground sales and distribution of that product or service is going to likely to develop. And that seems to be where, you know, we have found ourselves when it comes to the cannabis this market for, you know, decades now, and only recently has that journey of legalization really begun. And we saw that development of a black market with the banning of alcohol over the last year during the different levels of lockdown in South Africa. And one of the things that does happen is that when a black market exists, it means that's a leakage from the economy, right? Because the sales are still happening. It's not that product, just because it's not legal, it's not being traded or sold, but it's a leakage because it usually means that's a portion of money that could have been collected in terms of taxes on the side of SARS. But at the same time, at a time when we're thinking about job creation, etc., it means that's money that could have been flowing and developing into ecosystems, people that are delivering, like, for example, if we take the cannabis market, people that are delivering the product, people that are opening stores, people that are hiring accountants, clerks, shopkeepers, that type of thing. Whatever it is, you develop that ecosystem and you have, you know, more of those jobs. So when it comes to the development of something like what these guys are doing with Alder Zero, it will be interesting to see what the actual capturing of the market will be like, because like they said, 3.5 million cannabis users in South Africa is nothing to, you know, to skimp about, because that's roughly two times the number of people that are actually employed by the entire tourism sector in South Africa. And tourism is one of the biggest GDP contributors in the country at about 8%, at least before we got into lockdown. So when you think about things from that point of view, then the economical business case for hemp, CBD, and cannabis actually makes sense. But how it's done, and especially if it's done in a legal way, is probably going to be best, especially if the economy can actually derive some of this value that is otherwise leaking out of the formal economy. And in a number of parts of the world, it's already becoming a booming industry, and one that's employing people, and one that has actually created fortunes, as, you know, companies are being listed and things like that. So going forward, it would be good to get the Elon Naturals team back again, just to get some progress, especially after about 6 months to a year, just around how the development of the market has been. It's always interesting when a certain good or service comes out of the black market, sort of to the surface into the formalized sector. You know, what type of transitions that actually makes, and what type of added value, you know, then comes in, and what type of other products are then going to be developed on top of that, especially if people can stick within the legal limits. I think that legality will be the key, especially if the health department, which is currently monitoring this, can come up with strict guidelines and just make sure that enforcement is there. Then it does provide that opportunity for a whole new industry that's going to employ people and actually take this thing that people have been doing and actually bring it into the formal market, and let us capture the actual value of that 27 billion rand that's estimated to be out there. It might actually even be bigger, because the more it comes into the formal market, the more it can be studied, and we can actually draw market insights and actually see you know, what's happening on the ground. But at the same time, with almost anything out there, there's always room for abuse, and this is why I said the enforcement is going to definitely need to be important from the health department, and it's going to likely determine the type of reputation that the industry has and what type of value is going to be created by it going forward. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.